Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
What is up, fight fans? We welcome you into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobio. Got a fun one planned for you today because it's always great when Manny Pacquiao steps into the ring for the first time in over 2 years at age 42, and he's not taking on Errol Spence. We're all bummed out for that. In steps your Dennis Ugas in what I think will be a much more competitive fight for the senator from the Philippines. Joining us on the program today, Chris Algieri, former 140-pound champion, who has stepped in the ring with Manny Pacquiao, who has stepped in the ring with Errol Spence. He'll have you covered here on what Ugas needs to do to pull off the upset, what Pacquiao needs to do to win and keep his career going forward. Will it be the final fight for Manny Pacquiao? Because you got to consider everything here with Pacquiao getting up there in age, wants to become the president of the Philippines. Could this be the last time we see Manny Pacquiao in a ring? For that reason alone, I think it's enough to tune in for this fight. Without further ado, let's get to Mr. Chris Algieri. Our guest this week here on Inside Boxing Live, one of my favorites because he can break it down inside of the ring. He just stepped inside of the ring and came out a winner. Chris Algieri is here with us. And Chris, before we get started, I saw something on your social media that I just found straight up alarming. You don't like pizza. How is that possible? A New Yorker, an Italian guy? Is it the taste? Like, I have so many questions. How do you just not like pizza?
I don't really like pasta either, to tell you the truth, but that's very unrelated in terms of why. So pizza I don't like is because I went to Italy when I was really young and had real pizza. And I was like, oh, this is a whole different thing. So when I came home, it's like, I just think of that. I think about the pizza I had there. I'm like, no, that's pizza, but this, I don't know what this is. But you know, New York does have great slices, but I don't know, man. I always equate how I feel when I eat something to how much I like the thing. You know, it's like, yeah, I like ice cream, but I'm going to feel like dog shit for the next 3 hours. So I don't like ice cream, you know, so I'm not going to eat ice cream just to deal with that. And I kind of feel like that way with pizza as well. It's like one of those things where, yeah, one slice here and there is fine, but I don't know. It's really hard to eat one New York slice of pizza.
Right. You got to eat like a 5-6, you know, like exactly. Joe's pizza, the thin crust, you could probably smash like 4 or 5 of those.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, not really a big pizza guy, which, you know.
I saw that. I was like, whoa, I got to get to the bottom of that. But let's also talk about your win over there on August 3rd, Madison Square Garden. What a scene it was. I was in attendance, first fight in New York City in like 17 months because of the shutdown. Your first fight in a very long time. Almost 1,000 punches thrown, almost 300 punches landed. We knew you were in shape. We know that. But damn, man, I didn't know you were going to go that hard.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to dig back in the crates and give a little bit of old school Chris Algieri back in the 2013s, 2012s. And I regularly throw 1,000 punches in a 10-round fight. You know, a lot of people talk about age and whatnot. Listen, I feel great. I feel as good as I always have. And it was good for me to go out there, get my weight down, show everybody that, you know, I'm a 140-pounder, get the win, do it in a dominant way against a tough guy. You know, a lot of people are like, hey, that's not a really good fight to come back on. Southpaw with, you know, 20 wins and only lost to world champions, hadn't fought in 26 months. But I was like, listen, I want a real fight. I want to make a statement. And I believe we did that.
What is next? I know you want to get back in there. Now that's not going to be the final fight. So I know you linked up with Keith Connolly and you know, he has big plans. I know you have big plans. So what do you want to do next?
I want to fight again before the end of the year. So I get two in for this year. If that's a big one, great. I think I'm ready. I know I'm ready. I showed that on August 3rd. But if we get another kind of fight like that, where, you know, we can still bang out some of the rust, that's fine. Get one of those in before the end of the year and then look for a big one beginning of next year.
Bang out some of the rust, despite throwing 1,000 punches, landing close to 300. Impressive stuff. I enjoyed it. The whole night was pretty epic. Did you stick around for the locks dipset battle?
I didn't. My brain is in a whole different place when I finish fighting. I rarely stay and watch other fights. I just, I want to get away from all the noise. So that wasn't really a great scene for me post fight. So I got out of there pretty quick.
There was a lot of noise. There was a lot of noise. There was a lot of weed smoke. It was a scene, but it was, I mean, the way I looked at it was we haven't had boxing in New York City in 18 months. We're going to come back with some great fights, an epic New York City night. I found myself in a suite with Busta Rhymes. I was like, what is going on right now? So all in all, great night. You got a win. New York City got fights back. Hopefully we have a lot more this fall and winter because New York City is a hotbed for boxing. We need it. We need it back. Club shows, big shows at Barclays, MSG, and all that. Big fight coming up this weekend over in Las Vegas. And obviously we're bummed out that we're not getting Pacquiao versus Spence, but it's time to pivot. It's time to start thinking about what we do have. We have Manny Pacquiao. We have a legend. We have a guy that has won in 8 different weight classes. You know his history by now. This could be his final fight. I don't think it will be his final fight, but it very could well be. I want to go into the mind of a fighter, so I'll be happy here, and go into the mind of Pacquiao. You're training for a guy in Errol Spence who throws 70 punches around, relentless attack, southpaw, digs to the body, has a great jab. And now you're going to a orthodox fighter, a little bit more of a slickster, maybe 50, 55 punches around, which is nothing to, you know, sneeze at. But what do you think is going through Pacquiao's mind, you know, adjustment wise?
Well, like you said, you alluded to it, it's a very different fight in terms of game plan, strategy, and who they are, body type, styles, pace. But that being said, I mean, And on top of that, Ugas is just he's a nightmare for everybody in that division. You know, he gave Sean Porter fits in that matchup. So Ugas is nothing to sneeze at. But you said this could be Pacquiao's last fight, and if he loses, I'm pretty sure it would be. And he can lose. He could lose to Ugas. Ugas has a difficult style, and he's a difficult guy. I don't think he will. But in terms of the headspace, that's going to be a big part of it. The good thing is that we're dealing with Pacquiao here, and we know that the guy shows up, and he's just a modern day warrior. For him, it's a fight. He'll fight anybody. We know that. He goes out there and he tries his best to get the knockout, get the win, no matter what the circumstances or who's in front of him. So I would be less concerned because it's Pacquiao in terms of dealing with, you know, the last minute switch. But also Ugas has got to do with that as well. You know, he's switching and fighting a much tougher opponent, obviously, and a legend and a huge, huge opportunity, a big jump up in class in every way. So, you know, there's that mental aspect to it as well. But in terms of, the questions are always with Pacquiao at this stage of his career. Did he get old overnight? You know, is this going to be the same guy that we saw when he trounced Keith Thurman? Is it going to be, you know, the same guy from multiple years before that, you know? So you never know. That's just, you know, the nature of the beast when you're talking about fighters over the age of 40. And then, like, as you said, the mentality of, is he going to be as up for this fight as he was for the big challenge in Errol Spence? I think his team is understands that Ugas is a dangerous opponent and they will be on top of their P's and Q's for this fight, but very well, you know, inside of a fighter's head, it can be difficult to be like, well, I was about to fight Errol Spence in one of the biggest fights at welterweight that can be made, to now fighting Ugas, who a lot of casual fans don't know who he is.
Right.
Again, I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue for Pacquiao. I think that, you know, the old warrior does it again, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's really hard. Like you said, it's really hard to gauge Pacquiao. I mean, yep. I don't really gamble a lot on boxing, but this is like a really tough one because 42 hasn't fought. Which Pacquiao is going to show up? We can go back and watch fights from 10 years ago. That's not who he is anymore. He throws 50 punches around. He's way more consistent, and he's more accurate with his punch. He fights in spurts. He can pick his spots and choose in there, and rather than fighting for 3 full minutes, it's hard to figure out what he's going to be. One thing that I liked in the Thurman fight, at least, and I mean that's all pretty much what we can base it off because it's his closest fight, was he dedicated more to the body. And that's something that Pacquiao's been doing a lot over the tail end of his illustrious career, is focusing on the body. And I think that's going to be huge against Ugas, bigger guy, not as big as Spence, but he still has a 3-inch height advantage, Ugas does, and a reach. So I can see Pacquiao hammering away on the body. And heading into the Spence fight, I thought all the pressure was on Spence because he had to look good. He had to almost knock out Pacquiao because he's an older guy and he wants to make a statement. Now it switches back to Pacquiao. But then again, I don't think Pacquiao feels pressure. He's just that much of a guy that's been in there so long. It's interesting dynamic with this switch so late.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. I think for Pacquiao, it's like that pressure isn't really a thing for him. He's been there so many times, you know, and he loves the challenges. He likes fighting the bigger guys. He's always said that, like, you know, the Margarito fight from, you know, however many years ago, you know, he liked the idea of moving up outside of his weight class and fighting the giant. You know, he's always kind of had that mentality. So the stage, I don't think the lights, none of that's going to bother a guy like Manny Pacquiao. This is what he lives for.
Yeah.
And in terms of his style, like you said, he's definitely changed up a lot. Even the Pacquiao that I fought, I prepared for the Pacquiao of old fighting Marquez, who was just a blitz, you know, was coming out and throwing a million punches. But now, you know, he's slowed down the pace, much more body punching, much more accuracy. He slowed down the pace of his opponents as well by going to the body, by picking his spots better, by using his boxing skills, which he actually has a lot more than people give him credit for.
What was it like when the final introductions were said and you were both in the ring and you're staring down Manny Pacquiao? That's an unbelievable. That's like the pinnacle, man.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was another guy in front of me. It was another fight.
No, come on. Tell me it was big.
No, it was everything leading up to it was big. But, and like I've always said, it's two guys in a ring. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about boxing, is that everyone on paper is equal, because it's just what God gave you, man. He's got two hands and two feet just like me. And he's across the ring from me. And that's how I look at a guy when I'm across the ring from him. Otherwise, I'm going to be beaten before the fight even starts. Everything leading up to it was absolutely ridiculous in terms of the scope, the magnitude of everything. And that lasted for months prior. But yeah, I mean, on fight night, it's a fight. That's why we love boxing. Anything can happen.
It's wild. It's a great thing, man, that you got to share a ring with Manny Pacquiao. And if it is his last fight, which I don't think it's going to be, he was supposed to fight Conor McGregor. Let's be real here. And that, cause he wants the most money. I mean, I don't blame him at this point. He's got political aspirations. He needs a lot of money has to go into those types of things. Not to mention his massive entourage and everything we know about Pacquiao with his money. He was supposed to fight Conor McGregor. That fell through. So he looked at it and goes, all right, well, who can I fight to get the most money possible? I can't make it with Crawford. So give me Errol Spence.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't sit there and wait once Spence got hurt and said, all right, I'll wait for Spence to come back. He just wants that, you know, make whatever it's 10, 12 million he's going to get for Ugas. Outside of him losing, getting like completely dominated, this guy's going to be back. He's going to fight again, maybe early 2021.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and looking at it from the idea of a 42-year-old champion who put in the training camp and the fight falls out the week before, he's not going to wait. You know, that's dangerous for him and his body and for training camp. Training camp beats you down, especially as you get older. So having to have a push it back and extend it is a very dangerous thing to do at his age. And like you said, you know, he's still going to make 10, 12 million, which is nothing to laugh about. You know, that's serious money for anybody, you know, and the work's already done. So he's just got to go out there and be Manny Pacquiao and close the show and, you know, get that pay and look for the next one.
I like your Dennis Ugas. I think he's a great guy. He's got a great story. Certainly based on merit, if you want to go by what the hell is going on with the WBA, he's the next in line. He was on that card for a reason, to step in for you know, if either opponent fell out. And I was taking a look at his fights and going through some of his stuff. And he had these back-to-back losses in 2014. And since then, he's reeled off, I think, 11 of 12, maybe even 12 of 12 if he had him beating Sean Porter.
Mm-hmm.
In those two losses, though, his jab was neutralized. It was completely taken away from him. I can see that happening in this fight. Manny's path to victory, being a southpaw, is taking away Ugas's jab and just hammering him away as he does, you know, fighting in spurts. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, Pacquiao's a very hard guy, and very few people have been able to establish and keep a jab on him. You know, every good jabber he's fought, that has been the difference, that Pacquiao was able to neutralize him. You think about Oscar De La Hoya, myself. You know, he's always been able to avoid those jabs, and has much better defense than people give him credit for. He's just such a difficult guy to narrow down and get his rhythm, because he's consistently changing his rhythm. And I think that's going to really give Ugas trouble. Ugas is smooth. He's classy. He uses his jab really well. He hits the body great with both hands, does Ugas. But he finds a rhythm. He's got that rhythmic style. And I think with a guy like Manny Pacquiao, who's consistently off rhythm and changing the pace and the tone of the fight, It's going to be really difficult for him to get anything going and get any kind of momentum.
Yeah, I like this fight. I think it's in a more competitive fight than we would have saw with Spence and Pacquiao. I thought Spence was going to win that one going away. This is maybe a better fight. It doesn't have the same sizzle towards casual fans that the hardcores are going to watch. It's Manny Pacquiao. We have a Manny Pacquiao fight week in the year 2021,
yeah,
which is absolutely absurd. I mean, the guy, we're relatively the same age. The guy made his debut in 1998. He won a world title when we were like 15 years old. Mm-hmm. You stepped into the ring with him. The guy's career, it's just something that you don't see too often. And I hope that fans out there will tune in and appreciate it because it could be his last. I mean, he can even win and it could be his last fight, considering totally. He's yep. talking about finally fulfilling his dream, he says, of running for president. I could see him winning. And obviously, I think that presides over, the fighting in the ring is what he's doing over there in the Philippines, got a huge family. He could win this fight and just say, you know what, forget it. That's it. I want to go be president of the Philippines, but there's a lot of money still out there too. It's intriguing to me.
I mean, there'll be money for him to make as long as he wants to do it, as long as he will stick around just because of the name and his credentials at this point. But there's been a shift in the last couple of years. You hear about him talking about retirement. Back in the day, he never talked about that. And even if the Marquez lost, people are like, oh, is this? And he was like, no. He's like, this is what I do. I fight. But now more and more we're hearing about him actually speaking about retirement, not fighting anymore. Whereas in the past, he was like, no, I have no plans for retirement. No plans for retirement anytime soon. I still want to fight. And even though he was not as active, in those later years, he was always still a fighter, even though he's in between, busy with the politics and whatnot. But now it's kind of a different tone and it's understood. I mean, what more can this guy do? I don't think he really can do more.
I mean, there's a few records to be broken. I think if he wins, he becomes the first fighter to win titles in four different decades or might be five different decades. It's such a long list of accomplishments, yeah. But I know what you're saying.
But I mean, if he did beat Spence, we're talking, he's one of the best fighters we've ever seen,
yes.
Especially if he did it in like emphatic fashion. That was kind of what I was thinking about with this fight. Cause before the fight got made, the Spence fight, that is, I was like, ugh, that's a tough style, tough matchup. I was Spence all day. And then the fight got made. I'm like, there's, and I started thinking about it and kind of studying. I'm like, there's options here in positions where Pacquiao can actually do some damage in this fight. And he could actually make it a fight. I still had Spence winning the fight, but I think it would have been more competitive, more entertaining than maybe I thought initially. But who knows if that's going to happen now.
Head over to Spence real quick. I don't know how much about eye injuries.
I know quite a bit.
But like that's a serious, serious injury. It's just short of a detached retina. It could lead to a detached retina from what I've read up on it. I don't know if it happened from the car crash, but the fact that they didn't postpone the fight, the fact that they just went forward with it, I mean, that's who knows about Errol Spence. I want to see the guy continue to fight because I think he's an absolute stud. You were stepped into the ring with him as well. But, man, eye injuries as a fighter, as you know, nothing to mess with.
Eyes are tough. Eyes and brains are two things that we as from the medical stance, human beings have difficulty fixing. And it's two of the things that could damage the most on boxers most often, eyes and brains. So it is a very dangerous thing. And listen, Spence is a tremendous, tremendous talent and champion, and he has a lot more to do in this sport. So of course we all want him back. We want him back healthy. We want him back 100%. But the man has an eye for the rest of his life, and that's it's going to come down to what the prognosis really is, what him and his family and his team come to. But eye injuries are scary. It's losing vision is not an uncommon thing in boxing for boxers, and detached retinas are no joke. It's ended a lot of careers.
Yeah, it's scary. I want to see the guy continue to fight, but you got to take that serious. And it's crazy because you take a look back at his fight in Dallas or wherever it was in Texas, they're known to have somewhat of a loose commission. Who knows if it was there? Vegas doesn't play. So he went to Vegas, got that test. They found that and they shut that fight down really fast. Let me ask you though, Chris, when people stop you, do you feel like people link you towards the Provodnikov win or the Manny Pacquiao fight?
I would say the Provodnikov fight much more, just because one, winning the title, two, and then the eye, the drama surrounding it, the lead up, and it was really like my breakout. I was like, most people had not, unless you were a real true boxing fan, you didn't know who I was at that point. So I think a lot of times the first thing that anyone ever remembers about me is the Provodnikov fight. So that's usually where most people who stop me or say anything will say.
Yeah, I was in attendance for that one. Ringside, I think it was like the day before Father's Day. And I will never forget that fight. It was a lot of drama. It was a lot of anticipation. I mean, HBO, which is great. I mean, I missed that so much. The whole HBO, you got to fight on HBO, too. You got to share a ring with Manny Pacquiao. Those are just really, as a fighter, I'm sure when you started out, you probably thought there's no way. Or maybe you did. But if you could see it play out, fighting Pacquiao, fighting Provodnikov, winning a world title in your backyard, fighting on HBO, those are all, that's a great career, man.
It's funny. Thank you. But it's funny you mentioned that, because I did as a kid say, I'm going to win my world championship at Madison Square Garden on HBO, just like that. Because yep. there wasn't Barclays then. I did it in the Barclays Center, which was awesome too. I mean, it's not MSG, but it's
close enough.
Yeah, close enough. And, you know, so that worked out, you know, different than how my mind's eye as a kid was. But no, I always had that in mind. And they're just feathers in my career cap that I'm very proud and very happy about.
I know you still want to add more to your career. Let's let that be known. But how about with Pacquiao? You spent a lead up. You guys traveled all over. You traveled to freaking Macau. Any behind the scenes stuff with Pacquiao that you remember, and maybe a story of you two together? What is he like behind the scenes?
I mean, we were around each other a lot, which is really weird, you know, leading up to a fight that you spend so much time. But I'd never been in a big, you know, lead up to a fight, so I had no idea how it was going to be. But and you saw it even with Spencer Pacquiao too. You're sitting next to the guy on TV often. You know, it's weird. But Pacquiao, he's a little bit aloof. You know, just kind of going through the motions. He's done it so many times. You know, for him it wasn't a big deal to be flying on private jets all over the world. But for me and my team, it was like, man, you know, this is wild. We didn't speak very much, like off camera, just a little bit here and there. I do remember hearing stories that he was gambling and up late at night one of the nights before one of our press events the next day. And there was mutterings, oh, Pacquiao's not in a good mood. He was up late playing cards all night or chess or something, and he lost a whole bunch of money and he was all pissed about it. So I thought that was pretty funny. Freddie was saying about me, because I would go out every night. We were multiple months away from the fight, and we're in cities I'd never been. So I was like, I'm not staying in the hotel. Like, I'm gonna go search around. So Freddie kept like on our team, like, your boy Algeri was out again last night.
Freddie will do anything for some mind games.
Yep. He loved that stuff. So I actually spent more time with Freddie and around and talking to Freddie than I did with Manny, which was cool too. Freddie's actually he's a phenomenal guy, and we're pretty good friends.
That's awesome. That's something, man. That's something. Yeah, I had a few run-ins with Pacquiao. I would describe him as like a 15-year-old in like a 42-year-old man's body. He's like a kid.
Yeah.
Everything's goofy and funny. He's just a great guy. Just an all-around good person. And he's got his work cut out for him with your Dennis Ugas. Finally, before we let you go, prediction, how does this fight play out?
I got Manny taking this fight. I think it's going to go to decision, but I wouldn't be surprised if he dropped Ugas, especially early, maybe a few times. I just think that dealing with him being so explosive and the punches coming from strange angles, but Ugas is going to be in the fight, and he's going to make it competitive, if maybe not as entertaining as we would expect from like a fence fight, but I do think he's gonna win rounds, and he's gonna be very much in the fight.
All right, Chris Algeri, one of the best guests you can have here on Inside Boxing Live. Go out, get some pizza, man. Enjoy a slice.
I did, man. I had a whole pie the other day at my friend's new restaurant, so it's not like I won't eat it.
There you go, Chris. Thanks a lot, man. Catch you next time.
Sounds good.